Marty Griffin, morning. We're going to talk about hamsters. I always grab these columnists from these newspapers when they give people lame advice. Last week, we grabbed a columnist who gave lame advice about raising a teenager and discipline. Today, we're going to give lame advice. We're going to go to a column that gives lame advice about pets. For me, personally, as a father, I put kind of a, I don't know what you want to call it, four-step, five-step program in place for my kids that all leads up to getting a dog. If you can't feed a fish, you certainly can't feed a dog. So we got fish. They killed a few fish because they forgot to feed the fish. And then we got more fish. Now they fed the fish for an extended period of time. Now we're going for the gerbil. If they take care of the gerbil, it's a dwarf hamster. Yeah, gerbil. Then we'll talk about a dog. Daddy's not walking a dog at 4 a.m. But if I can teach, so part of them enjoying having a pet is they have to help me clean the fish tank. They have to help me change that crap fertilizer, whatever that is, that insulation you put in the gerbil's cage. And if they don't do it, the gerbil's gone and any hope of ever getting a dog is gone. So what happens, I think they learn discipline, they learn a little bit of responsibility, and they enjoy the pet at the same time. A columnist says, oh, no, don't do that. No, you're ruining your kids. I love these columnists that at the end of the day don't have kids, but they wrote 4 books on how to raise kids. Don't you love folks that grab you that don't have kids that tell you how to raise kids? Well, you thought I would do. Get away from me. Get away from me. I will read that to you momentarily because I have to have your advice on this. Meantime, I'm blown away sometimes by the misdeeds of the federal government and how nobody ever has to pay the piper. And here's one here. The National Institute of Health, this jumped off the map at me. The National Institute of Health has spent more than $2 million to promote how joining a community choir can be beneficial to older adults. National Institute of Health spending $2 million. This is the real deal. To promote how joining a community choir can be beneficial to older adults. I said this all the time. Give me and Tamara $50,000 and I'll talk about how beneficial choirs are on the radio. Choirs are great. Sign up today. I was in a choir growing up. Now I can't sing. The government is currently financing a 5-year project that is recruiting 450 minority elders to participate in choirs at senior centers in San Francisco. $2 million. See, now, whoever came up with this idea should go to jail. That's fraud. Perpetuated on the taxpayers of America. This is fraud. It's deceit. It's lying. It's disgusting and despicable. $2 million to recruit elderly. Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I've been hired by the National Institute of Health. I have a PhD in psychology from Dartmouth. Yes, ma'am. No, Cal. I'm sorry, ma'am. Cal. Yes, and I'd like to know if you would come and join a choir. Yeah, would you join a choir, ma'am? Get away from me! $2 million. The premise of the study entitled Community Choirs to Promote Healthy Aging and Independence of Older Adults is that the country is facing a demographic crisis and needs to prepare for a larger elderly population. They should do this at the casinos. Go over there with all those ladies with their oxygen and recruit from the casino. The premise of the study entitled Community Choirs to Promote Healthy Aging and Independence of Older Adults is that the country is facing a demographic crisis and needs to prepare for a larger elderly population. The United States is experiencing a rapid increase in the number of older adults. In 2009, there were 39 million individuals over age 65, and this number is expected to more than double by 2030. During that same time period, there will be an increase in the number of older adults with diverse racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic status backgrounds who are at an increased risk for poor health outcomes relative to non-minority elders. Thus, there is an immediate need to identify cost-effective, widely applicable, and sustainable programs that promote health and well-being of older adults. Open casinos for all of them, or bigger bingo halls. People quit playing golf. Let the old farts play golf for free. They love playing golf. Make the hole like 180 yards long. Give them free clubs and let them play till they drop. What is wrong with this country? What are we doing? Folks, $2 million to promote how joining a community choir can be beneficial to older adults. They should have come to me. Get my father some free golf and get my mother some tokens for the casino and everybody's happy. And then when the old guys are done playing golf and the old ladies are done gambling, they all meet at a buffet and you pay for the buffet. If we're going to waste millions of dollars, let's waste it in areas where seniors spend their time. Choirs, recruiting senior elders to join choirs. Whew. They're getting $2 million to recruit 450 minority elders. T could go to her church this Sunday with $50. Come on, man. Go to church! The choirs are full of minority elders. The black churches are full of minority elders. But they're getting $2 million to do this. These people are high. Of all the things happening in America, of all the folks who can't pay for their meds, right? Of all the folks that I meet on the streets that can't, they have to crawl up the stairs in their home because Medicare doesn't pay for a stair lift, right? We get them donated, and my man Carl DeLacondro has to install them. He does it because he loves people, installs them for free. And yet, we're going to pay $2 million to recruit senior elders in the minority community. I could hire Tamara with this money. We give T $500,000, right? You go to four black churches this weekend, you could get 450 people. She gets $250,000, they get $250,000, everybody's happy. We save the government $1.5 million. That doesn't make sense. Seriously, this is real. This isn't a joke. Who in their right mind allows this to happen, America? We do. $2 million. Hey, you want to join a choir? Nah, thanks. All right, cool. I'm going to go to lunch. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. And somebody should be punished for this. $2 million. To get elders to sing. All right, here we go, folks. I love Jesus. All right, you in the front row with the walker. Sing out. Cost me $2 million to get you here. It's obnoxious. When we come back, we're talking pets.
Marty Griffin, KDKA.
Hey, T, last night I woke up, and here's what I hear. Busted fan. Burglar with fast feet. Huge moth at the window. Or ugly, smelly dwarf hamster working out. Why do these animals work out at 4 a.m.? Why don't they work out like regular people? 4 a.m. Hamster working out. I'm serious. Why do we get the hamster? Because it's the step to getting the big dog someday. And if they can't take care of a hamster, they ain't taking care of a dog. And doggy ain't getting walked by daddy. Here's the most offensive thing about owning a dog. For folks who think I don't like dogs, you're full of it. I don't like raising the dog when you get the dog for the kids. I'm not giving a dog antidepressants. My sister gives her dog anxiety meds. Now, my sister is one of the most amazing nurses in American history and truly takes care of our family. If you have something wrong with you, you call Sandy. We dump on her. She is our version of Florence Nightingale. So now she has a dog, and the dog has anxiety. Oh, look, she has anxiety. And come on. I am not giving a dog anxiety meds. But my big issue is the poop issue. When you walk them, you pick up the poop with your hands. It's disgusting. I refuse to pick up that gross stuff. I'll change a diaper on any kid. My kids pooped on me, peed on me, threw up in my face, and I never had a problem with it because they're babies. And at some point, they say, Dada. And they own you. Own you. I'm not picking up warm poop in the winter with my kids asleep. Dave has a solution to this? Is that what he's saying, T? My man Dave's going to fix all this for me.
Yeah, how you doing, Marty?
You know me. I'm always good.
Okay, well, I'm good too. I have a solution. Get a fenced-in yard,
yeah,
and then you won't have to walk your dog at 4 in the morning.
Well, who picks up the poop?
No, no, you still have to pick it up in the yard, but you use a little spade, you put it in a little bag, and then throw it in the trash, and then you let the garbage men take care of it, and you don't have to worry about it. But that's one of the duties of having a pet, Marty. You have to pick up their dog duty. They ain't going to do it yourself.
No, but the kids have to learn to do it, or they're not getting a dog.
Yes, that's true, too, Marty. You have to let the kids learn how to do it. You show them how to do it.
Well, you think they'll listen? Do you think little kids are going to get up at 4 in the morning in the winter to walk that dog when it dumps on someone's lawn and I have to pick it up?
No, it depends on how little we're talking. Now, I don't mean to be getting personal, but how old are your girls?
9, 7, and my boys just turned 4.
Okay, well, that's a pretty good age to teach them how to pick up dog dirt, but when you get ready, I would still get them a dog because a dog is one of the greatest things to have in your life.
They got daddy in their lives. That's all they need. I'll hug them. My sister had to take the dog, her dog. Now, my sister, absolute brilliant nurse, UPMC, Sandy Tresser, love her. Did you hear that I had to take Zoe, the dog that she's now obsessed with, to the animal ER because she tumbled down hardwood stairs? There you go. Crying and not eating for a day. Full body x-rays. Now you'd have to know my sister. She would die to save someone's life, but never a real big dog person. Now she is. Full body x-rays, $340. Diagnosis was a bruised hip and thigh and ordered pain meds. Come on, man. That dog is as big as a pair of socks. You know what I mean? You know, a pair of socks that you have in a ball? Which leads me to this. Right here. This column. Our kids are now 8 and 6, and we want to get them some kind of pet so that they will learn a bit of responsibility. Our landlord said we could get any pet that stays in a cage. We were thinking of a bird or rodent and wonder what you suggested. My wife and I both work, so it would have to be something with low maintenance. There is no right or wrong answer. This is from Mark Maroney, it looks like. A child should never be... Listen to what the genius Mark Maroney says, or Mark Moron, depending on how you say his name, from Animal Island. Mark says there is no right or wrong answer, but consider two Moron or Maroney rules. Number one, a child should never be expected to learn responsibility from caring for a pet. Why? Are you high? Here's what he says. Pet keeping is supposed to be fun. Responsibility is learning to do unpleasant tasks for no obvious immediate reward to the person doing the tasks and for the benefit for the common good of family and society. Obviously, he doesn't have kids. I find great joy in my children and my wife. They give me life. They are also a substantial amount of work and have taught me the greatest lessons about responsibility and growing up and acting like an adult. So you folks tell me, when you buy your kids pets, should they never be expected to learn responsibility from caring for a pet? 866-391-1020. Of course they should. Did you girls feed the fish? Because the fish are dead. That's what I said to my girls a month after the fish were dead and Daddy threw them out the back window. Now they feed the fish. Did you feed the hamster? Did you clean the hamster cage? They still love the hamster. They still love the fish. Come on, man. This guy says a child should never be expected to learn responsibility from caring for a pet. You tell me. Should your kids learn from caring for a pet? 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Next, live, right here. No, here's the noise in my house. You know, I'm also amazed. We have this little, dwarf gerbil. Chinese dwarf gerbil. It's a little thing. Is it a hamster? It's a hamster. It sure is. Hey, I'm cleaning the damn cage. I don't hold it. It's gross. Sorry. I'm not holding it. His little turds, I'm cleaning them. I love the fact that the kids are engaged. I think it's wonderful to have pets in the house. I think a big part of it is it teaches them responsibility. Feed the fish or the fish die. If the fish die, you don't get new fish, right? Clean the hamster's cage. And if you don't, the house smells. And if the house smells, daddy gets rid of the hamster. So we all clean. We do together. Me and the two girls. Vince is too young. We clean the fish tank. They help me. They clean the plants, the little plastic plants. And then we clean the hamster cage. We put all that new stuff in there that they kind of hide in. And then we feed it. And it's a great experience. And they learn responsibility. So what hacked me off this morning is these advice columnists that don't have kids. You know they don't. Saying, a guy says, what kind of pet should we get for my kid? And the guy says, a child should never be expected to learn responsibility from caring for a pet. Come on, man. Pet keeping is supposed to be fun. Responsibility is learning to do unpleasant tasks for no obvious immediate reward to the person doing the tasks and for the benefit, the common good of the family and society. Pet keeping can teach a kid to better time management, but it really should be to encourage a child's fascination with nature. A child should never think that caring for a pet is not a pleasant task. Really? Really, man? I'd like to smack that guy. Come on, man. That's like saying kids should not have to do homework in school. They should go to school to play with their friends. Kids should never have to work jobs. Jobs are hard. Mom and dad should pay for everything. It's a process. Man, I never wanted to get up at 5 in the morning to deliver the paper, the Post-Gazette, on Sunday mornings. But my father said, son, you want extra money? You get up. And I do recall it being a little nervous about it. And I know for a fact that I took our dog on that paper route. The dog's name was Pretty. And that dog would run down alleyways with me and would make me less fearful. That dog had a great impact on my life. And when we ran around the corner to get to our house, the dog would jump up against the glass of the front door, knowing that as soon as she got inside, I would give her peanut butter. It was a great experience for me. It taught me responsibility. This notion that if you get pets, don't get them to teach you responsibility. These columns are written by people that don't have kids. Silly. Kids love pets. Fine. But they got to learn responsibility, too. Helen in Wilkinsburg, thanks for your patience. Good morning, my friend.
Oh, good morning, Marty. I really enjoy your show. I just want to make a comment. There have been several studies that show that having particularly a dog that does go outside. I have a large fenced yard, large enough where I don't have to deal with the poop because there's lots of brush.
Nice.
So that's the solution to that. Just get a really big yard fenced in. But
so I got to move and get a fence to get a dog.
In a really big yard.
You are so cute.
And hire someone else to tackle grass. But anyway, there are several studies
that is beautiful.
Have been done that show that having particularly a dog decreases incidences of allergies in children across the board, all sorts of allergies. Because in our hyper clean world, where children don't go outside and they just sit inside with their electronic devices, they're not being exposed enough to the outdoors, to the different pollens, the dirt, and things like that. And there are serious studies out there that show that having a dog is beneficial in decreasing allergies.
Hey, I see the benefits for folks who have dogs in their family. It's amazing. Here's my issue with that. My son has... You know those little devices that you stick in their leg? I mean, his allergies are that bad where he could go into some sort of allergic reaction to something and he could die. And so,
yeah, it may be too late for, I mean, of course, it wouldn't be appropriate for you.
Well, I don't know, though. He's only 4, and they say that as they get older sometimes, they're not as serious and sometimes even grow out of them. So we have not closed the door on that, but I'm just telling you that it's troublesome. I mean, we have these little, it's a new device, actually, and you have
the EpiPen.
Yeah, exactly. We have 6 of them at least. Their teachers have them. We have them in our cars. My mother, folks that watch the kids have them. And because my son is so allergic, but at some point, we hope that it's not as stressful for us to think about this stuff thing because he's never really had a bad reaction. But I have also heard what you're saying, that there's so many benefits to dogs, and folks love cats as well. Folks, I think, twist and turn my thoughts about pets into this notion. This is the whole group of people that say I can't stand teachers that say I don't like dogs. I don't like people that don't train their dogs. I don't like families that buy dogs and think their kids are going to take care of them. I mean, I've just watched it my whole life. I watch it in my neighborhood. Folks get a dog for the kids, and then dad's walking the dog every night, and he's not happy about it. Jen in Cranberry, good morning.
Good morning. There are two guaranteed things that are going to happen every time we sit down for dinner at our house. The telemarketers will call, and the dog needs to go out to go pee every single time. I'm dead serious. It's like we sit down, he's like, oh, I got to go pee. So I refuse to get up to let the dog out or in during dinner, you know? So the kids know that if the dog rings the bell, they're getting up to let him out, and they take turns. I let him out, you let him in. So
whoa. You dropped something in the conversation that's intriguing. What do you mean if he rings the bell?
He's got a bell on the back door. You would like me as your next-door neighbor. I trained him so that he rings a bell to go out to pee.
That's adorable. That's a cool thing. So he's obviously smart.
Yeah, he's smart, but not that smart. He's breaking through the electric fence still.
Is he?
Yes.
So he doesn't mind the pain from the electric fence?
You know, I just said right now about an hour ago, I'm like, I think we need to put the longer prongs on it because he's breaking through, and I think he has too much fur on his neck.
You know, I got to tell you, I have never seen that. We have electric fences all over our neighborhood, and there are big dogs and small dogs. I have never seen a dog run through the electric fence, and I have little kids, and, you know, they get excited when they see the dog, and the dog stops there. Yours just runs right on through, eh?
He's a car chaser.
Oh.
So it's just a matter of time before I'm at the emergency vet on Camp Horn.
Maybe he likes it. Sadistic kind of a dog.
Yeah, he's got that too.
Yeah. Hey, hold on. Before I let you go, don't you think part of the reason why you get a dog is you teach kids responsibility?
Absolutely. Right. I mean, definitely. Yeah. I did get the dog, though, so I could walk as well, because I refuse to walk without a dog. I don't want anybody attacking me. But before we even had the dog, we practiced getting up in the middle of dinner to let him out to pee. I mean, I would randomly scream out, dog has to pee. And the girls were like, we don't even have a dog yet. I'm like, yeah, but if you guys can't do this little test, why am I getting one?
So you're with me. So we had fish and they died. I threw them out the back door. The kids didn't even know for a month. And I said, hey, you guys been feeding the fish? Yeah, Dad. Really? Because I threw them away a month ago.
Marty, I throw everything out the front door. That's so funny that you said that. Literally. TV remotes, I don't care. It all goes out the front door. We had a new neighbor move in. And I said, just to let you know, I throw a lot of stuff out the front door.
My dad came home from work one time and the house was messy. He threw all of our shoes and clothes out the window.
Yep.
Now, my mother says, you know, I got to pick that stuff up now because the kids aren't going to do it. I love you. You are hilarious. Thank you very much. She made my day. Look, it's my bottom line for these things. And I'm really very convinced that we teach our kids lessons with every single day that passes. And I think an animal in the house teaches them responsibility. And if they can't take responsibility with an animal, then they won't learn responsibility for themselves or their brothers and sisters. And so as I see them learn to take responsibility with something as simple as feeding the fish or taking care of a hamster, then you know that they're growing up a little bit. I think it's a great tool. 866-391-1020. This columnist says a child should never be expected to learn responsibility from caring for a pet. 866-391-1020. Is that true? Next. Marty Griffin. The discussion today is about pets and how pets can be used to teach your kids responsibility. I truly believe it's a great teaching tool. They'll learn to take care of the pet or you get rid of the pet, and you tell them that. And they learn because they want to keep the pet. It's actually fun to watch, and it's on top of that, they find great joy in the little guys. My daughters have really enjoyed the hamster. Janet, Lower Borough, go ahead.
Hi, Marty. Talking about pets and animals, I just wanted to let you know it is National Squirrel Awareness Month. So put that out to your listeners.
Really?
Yes, yes it is.
Wow, I had no idea. What are we supposed to do?
Well, I think it's, I'm actually the president of the Squirrel Lovers Club.
Oh my gosh, did you send me the letter?
Yes, that's me. Do you read them? Do you love them?
They're absolutely adorable. They have a monthly newsletter. I had everyone in the studio here reading them. It was a really, really cute. I think it's really, really cool that you guys do that.
Thank you so much. I always wondered. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really cute. It takes a lot of effort. There's a lot of creative writing. And
We put it on. I do everything myself. I collect all the things to get reprint permission and all the stories, and I do that whole newsletter all by myself and mail it all out. And yeah, it's a lot of work, but I love it. I love squirrels. So.
And so what are we supposed to do during National Squirrel Awareness Month?
Well, like I did a radio interview the other day, and I think we're just kind of meant to just let people be more aware of animals and be a little more kind in your daily travels. That's kind of what we like to put out there. Just be a little more kind. Squirrels, the animals in general.
Do we act a little nuttier this month?
We can if we want.
I'm serious, Janet. We live in a neighborhood where there are huge trees, and there are squirrels everywhere, and I mean everywhere, and I love them, so I've kind of studied them. They're actually smart little buggers.
Very smart.
So I'll watch them. It's interesting. It's interesting that I watch them. They'll bury a nut, then they'll go back and find it after this long winter. And I read that I guess they could find it within an inch or two of the location.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
We love them. We probably, seriously, sometimes we'll have five or six in our yard at a time. I love watching them.
Great.
And by the way,
I
went to IUP, now that you got me going on this. For a year, I went to Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and they had the oak grove. And folks would... Now, I don't agree with this. They would hand feed the squirrels because I think that kind of screws them up. But there were squirrels everywhere up there.
No, it doesn't.
You don't
think?
They
learn. They know. No, they'll be fine. They figure they're opportunists. That's all.
I love them.
So if it's not, if
thanks
it's
for calling
them,
in.
They'll go find it.
I love them. Great phone call. Good morning, Bonnie.
Hi, Marty. I think you should get the kids a Newfoundland.
Oh, they're nice looking dogs.
They're a nanny dog. That's what they call them. They're so gentle. They soft mouth, and they're great dogs. And not one that I have, but you know, it kind of would scare people away enough because it's so huge. But I have to tell you something. Not only does it teach a child about responsibility, it teaches the child about the cycle of life. That you know, you treat the puppy different. That you have to train it. You know, when I did obedience, we had a bumper sticker that said, "Train, don't complain." And it teaches the child to have patience. It teaches the child to understand that other beings think differently than they do, and that you have to sometimes think like the other being in order to make a situation work out to everybody's best advantage.
Hey, we might have to get a dog because my daughter pointed this out to me. I guess there are dogs that are hypoallergenic.
Yeah, I have a Bouvier at home, and she really doesn't shed. So some of the larger terriers, some of the larger herding dogs don't shed, and there are a lot of small dogs and a lot of big dogs, which are really excellent pets for children. You know, I try to stay away from animals in my life of the many dogs that I have. I have corgis and a Bouvier, and I used to have German shepherds, but. You know, I mean, I always, from the time they were babies, I taught them that whatever goes in their mouth belongs to me, that they have to give it back to me if I ask for it. And they have never, you know, they were not biters. And I've always tried to be really careful. Now, I don't have any children, but I've always been really exceedingly careful with the dogs.
But this is very smart. You get it. You get it. And also, do you not believe they're a great learning tool for kids, that they do teach them responsibility?
Absolutely. I have a 14-year-old corgi at home, and he's like your little 100-year-old man. I mean, he's, you know, he just kind of does his thing, and you know, at that age, he's going to be a little harder to handle than a dog that's, you know, say two.
Yep. I got to go, my dear.
For different reasons.
Thank you so much for the call. It was a great conversation. All I wanted folks to think about is when you're getting pets, I think they are beneficial for kids. I learned so much about my kids just from watching them with the fish and now with the hamster. I don't know if we'll get a dog. I got to worry about my kid's health, honestly, before anything else. And if someday it becomes something that he can handle, then we'll do it because they want to try it.